Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Mem Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is recommended that you click on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We pick up today from the top line of Mem Gimel, Omar Ula. Ches mine trefos nemru lo lemoshe b'sinai. 8 categories of trefos were taught to Moshe Rabbeinu at the receiving of the Torah. Unlike the list we saw in the Mishnah, which was very specific, here we have 8 categories, and into these 8 categories you will find all of the different trefos that were learned or mentioned earlier, meaning on Daf Mem Beis. The categories are Nekuva, that has to do with holes, Psuka, something that is severed, Netula, removed or taken out, the Chasura, missing, Krua, ripped, Drusa, that's an attack, a paw attack, Nefula, something having fallen, Ushvura, broken. And these categories are taught La'afuke, to the exclusion of Lakusa, the Rochish Bar Papa. You'll notice we have a little star to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text indicating Mem Beis Amid Beis under it. That would mean that you look back to Mem Beis Amid Beis and find a corresponding star to the left-hand side of the Gemara text over there with an indication of Mem Gimel Amid Aleph. You'll notice over there an allusion to what Rochish Bar Papa had taught. He had mentioned that a lakusa, a type of injury of the kulia, renders something to be a trefa, and we in this list, Ula, disagrees and says that it is not considered a trefa. Omar Chio Bar Rav, Ches Trefos Yesh B'Nekuva. Chio Bar Rav says that within the realm of Nekuva, hole, a hole developing in an organ, there are 8 examples. The Rashi lists them off. You can see Rashi, Shmoina Mine Trefes Benekuva, and Rashi mentions Nekuva Saveshet, the esophagus with a hole, Krum, Vahakrum is the membrane, Vahalev, the heart, the Krum is the Krum Shel Moach, and the Lev, the heart, and the Rea is the lung, the 4th, Vahkeva, one of the stomachs, Vahadakin, the intestines, and the Keres HaPanimi, the Keres HaPanimi is the inner keres, Vahemsis, Ubeis HaKosos, the Hemsis and Beis HaKosos, Chado, who are considered one, and if you count them up, you'll find Ha Tanya 8. Now, you might ask that why are you saying 8? The Im Tomar Teisha, if you want to say that really are 9, and the 9th one would be the Mora, a pierced gall. To that, we would say, Mora, we answer that issue of the Nekuvas HaMora, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yuda, Kotoni La. That is a Shitas Yochid, that is the teaching of an individual, and we don't follow the individual opinion. Desanya, and in the following Tanaic source, which you can see is in a frame, as we frame off all Tanaic sources in our marking system, you'll see the Nekuvas HaMora featured, but only as Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yuda's opinion. Desanya, Nikvo HaKeva, Nikfu hadakim trefo. If the keva or dakim organs are pierced, that creates trefus. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yuda Omer, af nikfu hamora. Rabbi Yossi adds that this too, the nikivas hamora, the piercing of the mora, also creates trefus, and that is a shitas yochid, and we don't follow that. At this point, we see a new geometric form. We see a triangle appears, and as you scan down the page, you'll notice quite a few of these. These are featured in the outside margin under our Mivneh heading, Sidro Shel Memros de Bei Yitzchok, de Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Yosef. A series of comments made by Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Yosef. Omar Reb Yitzchok Bar Yosef Omar Reb Yochanan. And you'll notice that in all of these comments of his, he happens to be quoting Reb Yochanan. Halacha k'Reb Yosi Reb Yehuda. He rules like Reb Yosi Reb Yehuda, which would be contrary to Chiyo Bar Rav's approach we saw a few lines up, which was to the exclusion of his Shita, but he, Reb Yitzchok, rules like him, signifying that Nekivas Hamora does present a problem. The Omar Reb Yitzchok Bar Yosef Omar Rav Yochanan, Maya Hadru Le Chavrei the Reb Yosi Reb Yehuda, what did the colleagues or the opponents of Reb Yosi Reb Yehuda say to him? Once again, Reb Yosi Reb Yehuda says that Nekivas Hamora represents a problem. The Tanakama, the colleagues, his colleagues that disagree with him, hold that Nekivas Hamora does not present a problem. So, on what grounds did they argue that it does not present a problem? So, the Gemara answers: they quote a pasuk from Iyov where it says, "Yishpech Lartz Morosi," my Mora, Iyov is exclaiming, has spilled to the ground. Vadayin Iyov Kayom, but Iyov continued to live. So that we see, even with a severely damaged Mora, he was able to live. So it does not create treifus. Omar Lahem, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda responds to them with an answer that takes a few lines. So we've employed a long answer marking to signify this. You can see a tuf that's encircled to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text with a descending dashed line indicating the length of this response. Rabbi Yosi says, Ein maskirin maisa nisim. We do not cite miraculous events. And the case of Iyov was one such miracle. The e lo temahochi, if you are to suggest otherwise, in other words, if you were to say that miracles also set a precedent, the pasuk says, Yiflach kiu yoisai velo yachmoil. This pasuk is describing a lakusa of the kilya, where the kilya is injured, and we know that that's a trefa. And being that that's the case in a normal situation, if someone is victimized by this, what's described in the pasuk, they would not live. Mi ko chayi, would a person live? And yet he did live. Iyov did live, even though he is describing yiflach kilyosai. Elo niso shaini. Rather, you must conclude that that miracles are different. Dichtiv, the pasuk by Iyov says rak es nafsho shemor. This indicates that Iyov was subjected to we'll call deathly blows, and the Gemara mentions in Maseches Bava Basra that the Kodesh Baruch Hu allowed the Satan to afflict Iyov, and in deathly ways. But he cautioned the Satan that shall not take away his life breath. So what's really described in the case of Iyov is something of a miraculous nature. Hocha nami, so too here with regard to the mora, nisa shaini, that he was able to live with the afflicted mora, Rabbi Yosi Reb Yehuda says to his colleagues, he says, that was a miracle. But in general, like I say, nekivas hamora would be of a deathly nature, and hence it is to be categorized as a trefa. The Omer of Yitzchok Bar Yosef, Omer of Yochanan, halocha kedivrei Omer, kezayis. This is a reference to the problem of nital hakoved. A koved is a liver. The liver has been removed, and there remains something of it. So Reb Yitzchok Bar Yosef is saying, how much must remain? An olive quantity of liver must remain, otherwise it would be constitute a trefus. The Gemara asks a question, and this question lasts a number of lines. Umi Omar Rabbi Yochanan Hochi, would Rabbi Yochanan say that thusly? V'omar Rabba Bar Chana Rabbi Yochanan, halocha kista mishna. The halocha regarding the halocha is to follow that which is taught in an unnamed mishnah. Sta mishnah is an unnamed mishnah, felt to be, since it's unnamed, it's presented as something authoritative. Utnan, and it says in our mishnah Elu Treifus. In the beginning of the parak, it says, "Nitlo hakoved velo nishtayer haymeno klum." If the koved is removed, the liver is removed from the animal. In other words, you shecht an animal and you find that it has no liver. and nothing is left, that is a trefa. Now, we can infer from the Mishnah, ha nishtayer, if something, however, does remain, afagav de lo havi kezayis. Let's read that again. Ha nishtayer, kshera. If something remains, it's kosher, afagav de lo havi kezayis, even though it does not amount to a kezayis. So, if some representation of the liver is there, even if it's less than an olive size and quantity, it's kosher. And that is how Rabbi Yochanan rules. So how can Rabbi Yisrael Bar Yosef say the halacha is that an olive quantity of liver must remain? The Gemara answers, Amoroi ninhu valibo de Rabbi Yochanan. What we are seeing here is Amoroi, a machlokis Amoroim as to what Rabbi Yochanan really said. So on the one hand, you've got Rabbi Yisrael Bar Yosef saying that a full olive quantity of liver must remain. And according to Rabbi Bar Chana, whose name was dashed underlined just a few lines up, His version of Rabbi Yochanan is that even less than an olive quantity of liver that remains enables the animal to still be considered kosher. The Omer Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Yosef, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Mora Shenikva, the Koved Sos Mosa, Kshera. A Mora that is pierced, and we should note that we saw Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Yosef above claiming that a pierced mora would create trefus. However, it is qualified, if it is the hole in the mora appears in a part of that organ that is adjacent to the liver. So you may have a pierced mora, but the liver is sealing the hole. That is considered a sufficient sealing. And we can categorize the animal as non-trefa, rather as kosher. The Omer of Yitzchok Bar Yosef, Omer of Yochanan, Nikev HaKorkavon, the Kis Shelo, Kayom, Kosher. If the korkavon, which is an organ of digestion of a bird, if this korkavon organ is pierced, but its kis, the kis is a reference to an inner membrane that surrounds the korkavon, and its inner membrane is intact, it's kosher. Ibayalaho. Here, the Gemara asks a question, and we've featured this with a double underline, and in the outside margin, we also have an explanation, a topic heading and structural note. The double underline highlights the expression Ibayalaho, as you can see here, and a few lines later. She'elos be'inyan nikuv. The korkavon ubeveshet. These are questions that deal with piercings of the korkavon and the veshet, the esophagus. So the question here concerns the pierced korkavon. However, the question here is focused not on the korkavon itself, but the membrane surrounding it. Nikev hakis, the korkavon kayom mai. Let's say the membrane has a hole in it, but the organ itself is intact. What's the halacha? Ta shma. So the Gemara tries to answer. Diomar Rav Nachman, Nikev ze beloy ze, oy ze belo shelo keneged ze, kosher. If one of the two elements is pierced, or they may both be pierced, but they're not. The piercing is not opposite one another. In other words, the korkavon may be pierced at the top part of it, and the membrane at the lower part of it. That's ze shelo keneged ze. It is said to be kosher. So, as far as the question was, if only one is penetrated, so Rav Nachman answers that when he says nikev ze below ze, it would be kosher. At this point, we have a new geometric form, and this is explained as well in the outside margin under our Nosei Mivne heading. Memros shel Rabba beinyan haveshet. These are comments of Rabbas that all have some connection or relate to the veshet, the esophagus. Omar Rabba shnei oirois yesh lo laveshet. The esophagus is a tube that has a double membrane. A double membrane forms the tube. Chitzon odom, the inner surface, the outer one. Let us correct ourselves again. Chitzon, the outer one, odom is red, reddish in color. The upnimi lavon, the inner one, we'll call it the inner lining of the veshet, is a white membrane. Nikev ze below ze kosher. If only one of them develops a hole, it is still kosher. Lomali lameimar chitzon odom ufnimi lavan. of what significance is there in pointing out the colors of the two membranes, saying specifically that the outer one is red and the inner one is white. The answer to that is why it's significant to point that out is the echolif trefa. If you find an animal that has them switched around, in other words, and if you shecht an animal and find that its esophagus has an outer white membrane and an inner red membrane, that animal is a trefa. Ibayaloho, nikfu shnehem ze shelo keneged ze mahu. Let us say both membranes, in fact, are pierced. However, the piercing is not of a continuous nature. In other words, at one, let's say, for example, the upper part of the esophagus outer membrane has a hole in it, but under that hole, the inner membrane is still intact. And then at another section of the esophagus, the inner membrane, you see, has a hole in it, but the outer membrane is still intact. What is the halacha? Omar mar zutra mishmei de Rav Papa, beveshet kosher bekurkavan posel. A situation like that, according to this opinion, of two unaligned holes, if you're dealing with a veshet, it's okay. With the kurkavan, which is something we mentioned before, and we saw actually another opinion on this topic, but his opinion, Mar Zutra Mishmei de Rav Papa, says it would be posel in the case of the korkavan. The Gemara raises a question. This question is a long question. You can see this illustrated by the long question mark into the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text and a kuf that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line. Maskiflo Rav Ashi, Adarabo. He says, to the contrary, in looking at these organs, the veshet versus the korkavan, he says, I would say just the opposite. Veshet, the ochlobe, upayobe, the veshet is an organ that we can call active. It's used for eating, and when the animal, payo, one of the two pshatim that Rashi says, when the animal issues forth noises, even though the basic organ for noise emission is the trachea, but when noises are emitted, the esophagus also flexes. So it's dynamic. Rovach gamdolei upostolei. Some girsos don't have the word rovach, and rather just have gamdolei upostolei. It means there is contraction and expansion. Because of its dynamic nature, we have gamdol is a shrinking or a contraction, and poshta is a stretching out. As a result of the dynamic feature of the veshet, even though the two holes, when you open up the animal and see that they're unaligned, but a result of the movement, zimnin de mehandazin behadi adodi, sometimes they can actually become aligned, so you would have a penetrating hole in the veshet, a hole through and through, and that would render it a trefa. Korkavan, however, this organ, the menach nayach, is a static organ. It doesn't move. Kedekoi koi, it is as it is, so that if you see the two holes unaligned, they remain unaligned. And therefore, that's reason for maintaining its kashrus. So that is Mar Zutra Mishmei de Rav Papa's, that is the response given to Mar Zutra by Rav Ashi. Omar le Rav Acho Bre de Rav Yosef de Rav Ashi. Hochi Amrinon Mishmei de Mar Zutra, the Omar Mishmei de Rav Papa Kafosech. So Rav Acho says that which you say, in fact, is what the real version of Mar Zutra in the name of Rav Papa is. So that what seems to have taken place in this Gemara is the question was raised about Nikfu Zeshelo Kinegetzeh. The Gemara presented Mar Zutra Mishmei de Rav Papa in an initial version. And then when Rav, the Gemara here at the end of the Sugya, where Rav Acho comes in, he claims that, in fact, the teaching of Mar Zutra in the name of Rav Papa is like Rav Ashi presents it. So we can call that a second version as to what Mar Zutra actually says. So with our markings, we've tried to capture this by using a volcano and calling that Roman numeral number 1. The volcano, you can see, is around Marzutra. And at this point, when Rav Acha comes into the picture, we can refer to this. We see a second volcano around Marzutra, and we refer to this as Roman numeral number 2, the second version of what Marzutra actually said. The Omar Rabba, Krum Sha'ola Machmas Mako Baveshet, Eino Krum. If the Veshet has on it a type of krum, a krum is a membrane that's not part of it but developed on it. We won't use the word scab, but something that has developed and that is there as a result of some type of maka, an injury. So we have a veshet that apparently had experienced an injury, and it developed a krum, a membrane that covers the spot that the maka had been. Rabba says that this krum is not to be viewed as a koshering element, namely an element upon which we can rely, and therefore it's a trefa. The krum does not successfully protect the injury or the hole that had developed over there. Rashi explains this 4 lines from the bottom. Eino krum, the membrane on the veshet is not considered a krum. The imnike vinistam, if it had developed a hole and became sealed, afilo also bo stima ova, even if the sealing is of a thick nature, eino miskayemes, it won't last. Continuing in the Gemara, the Omar Rabba, veshet ein lo bediko mibachutz elo bifnim. A veshet, an esophagus, cannot be checked, or a reliable checking cannot be made by scanning its outside, rather only by flipping it inside out and checking the inside of the veshet. Let us recount that the veshet is made of a double membrane, the outer one being reddish and the inner one white. So Rabba is telling you that if you want to have a reliable checking of the esophagus, that can be accomplished only by checking the inner lining. Lamai nafgamina, of what practical application does this teaching have? Lesofek drusa. An animal that may have been, we don't know, it may have been attacked by those kind of animals whose claws emit a type of venom that burns away organs. This is something we had made reference to in the Mishnah on Daf Mem Beis. So that if you have an animal that may have been attacked, Rashi quotes a Gemara from later in this parak which describes cases where this doubt arises, and it may have been clawed, let's say, on its neck. The animal in question may have been clawed on its neck. The venom will cause a reddening of that particular organ, and that reddening indicates there's venom, and the venom eventually burns it away. So in order to determine if the esophagus has been afflicted, you won't be able to tell by just looking at the outside of the esophagus, because the natural color of the outer membrane of the esophagus itself is reddish. So you won't be able to see a reddening, which is an indication that it was attacked. That will be noticeable only by flipping it inside out and looking at the inner lining, which is whitish, and on a whitish background, you will notice if there is any reddening. Hahi sofek drusa dasoi lekame de Rabba. An incident involving a sofek drusa came to the attention of Rabba. Havikabodik le Rabba la veshet me avroi. It was seen that Rabba was checking, bodik le, is checking the veshet from the outside. He was scanning the outside layer or membrane of the veshet. Omar le Abaye. Abaye raises an objection. He asks Rabba, he says, well, Mor, who? Mor is a title of respect, And in addressing Rabba, so Abaye says, "Well, more who do Omar veshet ein lo bedika elo mebefnim." But you yourself said, and we just got finished learning this, that a veshet has no cannot be checked unless you check its inside membrane. And you'll notice that we have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, indicating to look at Omid Aleph. And if you look at the bottom of Omid Aleph, you'll see exactly where Rabbah said that. And you'll notice the arrow there to the left-hand side of the Gemara text indicating Omid Beis. So Abaye is asking, you seem to be inconsistent. You said that the checking of the esophagus, the veshet, takes place only by looking at the inside membrane. And here, you are checking it from its outside. Well, upon hearing this, Afche Rabba Ubadke, Rabba flipped it inside out and checked the inner lining. And he noticed two drops of blood and declared it trefa. Now, you might be left still with a funny feeling. And Rabba, on the one hand, taught one way, started the checking another way. So the Gemara says, Rabba, when he did this initial external checking, he was just trying to see if keep Abaye on his toes. Lichdudi literally means to sharpen Abaye. So he was doing something that, of course, he himself would not have relied upon, but he just wanted to see if Abaye was on his toes, was aware. Omar Ula. Here we have a discussion concerning Koitz Baveshin. Our Nosei topic heading, this is what we have titled it. Koitz, a thorn Baveshet. The Gemara in the upcoming flow of Gemara, we will notice two possibilities, and these are indicated by little numbers to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. The first is a case of Yoshav. That's Yoshav lo Koitz Baveshet. A coats is wedged in to the veshet. A coats, we should say, is a thorn, something of a needle, of a thorn-like nature, and it's wedged into the veshet, from the inside of the veshet. In other words, while the animal was eating, this became wedged in. Later on the omen, you'll notice a number 2, describing something different, nimtzeis. Nimtzeis is there simply was found in the veshet, but not wedged in, just lying parallel to the veshet, a koitz. Turning to the Gemara, the first approach, Omar Ula, Yoshav lo koitz beveshet ein choshishin shemo hivri. If a koitz, a thorn, became wedged into the inside of the veshet, and it has not pierced the veshet, it's just wedged to the inside of the veshet, we don't see it coming from the piercing through to the outside, and also there's no drop of blood either. So he says this is kosher, and we are not choshe shema hivri. The expression hivri has to do with penetration. In other words, we're not choshesh that it had penetrated, and that what we are seeing essentially is a krum that had developed. All of this, we are not choshesh. Rashi quotes a pshat in that he heard on hivri as a loshon hole. In other words, we're not choshesh for a hole having developed, and the fact that it's not pierced through and through would otherwise be explained as a membrane. But we're not saying that. We're saying it's simply never pierced. So Ula is giving us a rather lenient ruling. At this point, we see triangles. These represent, and we've indicated this on our Mivneh heading, in the outside margin, these are a series of questions on the lenient psak of Ula. And we've written in the outside margin, Sidro Shokushios al Psak Hamakila Shel Ula Beinyan Yoshav Lo Koitz Baveshet. A series of questions on the lenient psak of Ula regarding the coats, that the thorn that got wedged into the veshet. So here we go with the questions. Ula Ula, my shno misofek drusa. According to Ula, what is different about this than a case of a sofek drusa, a situation that we described above, where I am in doubt as to whether an animal was attacked? And in such a case, we should actually make reference to Rashi, Maishno Misofek Drusa. So Rashi explains the Mishum the Ol Arya Benayu, because of a case where you had a flock of animals and a lion entered amongst the flock. Amrinon, we say, well, if there was a lion that entered a flock of animals, Shema Doras, it may have attacked one of them. Umasruchinon le bedika, and we automatically require a checking. V'hocha lo efsher lemivdika, and here, with regard to the thorn in the esophagus, we can't do a checking. Denekev mashubor chitzon shel veshet lo minkar, if there had been penetration, you will not be able to notice it on the outside membrane of the veshet, which itself is reddish. So the question here is, why is it that in the case of sofek drusa we exercise restriction, and you would expect the same thing over here, and yet you are lenient? Kosovar Ula, the Gemara answers, Ula is of the opinion, ein choshishin l'sofek drusa. If there is an issue of a doubt concerning drusa, that maybe drusa had taken place, Ula is also a consistent lenient opinion that we don't worry about that. So just like I don't worry about a case of sofek drusa, so too I am lenient with regard to the yoshav lo kotz baveshet. The Gemara asks, Umay shno mishtei chatichos, what is different about this case where there is a doubt, and the case of a person who had in front of him two pieces of meat, achas shel chelev v'achas shel shuman, one being of a chelev nature, which is prohibited, and if one eats chelev, he is guilty of a korban chatas if he did so inadvertently, and the other kosher shuman, kosher section. And we say in such a case, if one ate one of the pieces, he just doesn't know which one, he has to bring a korban osham tolui on the sofek, indicating to us that when there is a doubt, there is a problem. And here too, we have a doubt. The Gemara says no, but the case of shtei chatichos is a more severe problem. Hosam ischazik isura, hachalo ischazik isura. In the case of the two pieces, we knew at the outset that one was definitely a problem. The question simply, and that's called ischazik isura. The iser had, there had been a known status of prohibition. In our case, there was no known status of problem. All we found was a wedged in coats and no indication of a definite hole. Umay shno, the Gemara asks, so what's different between the case of Yoshev lo kotz in which you are lenient, mehashochet besakin v'nimtzeis peguma, the case of someone having slaughtered with a knife, and after the slaughtering, it's the knife is found to have a notch in it, and that shows us that the shechita that was done is no good. So that even though there is a possibility that the notch developed after the actual shechita, the Gemara answers, Hosam isyalid lo reusa basakin. In that case, there is a definite problem with the knife as it is right now. In our case, there isn't any definite problem. Umay shno misofek tuma b'rishus hayochid desfeko tome. Why are you lenient with the case of Yoshev lo kotz and treat it differently than the case of Safek Tuma, an issue of doubt concerning Tuma in a private domain. And when a situation like that arises, that an issue of doubt concerning an item in a private domain, we rule it to be Tame. So as a response to this question, he says back, L'tameich, Nidme L'sofik Tuma B'shus HaRabim D'sveiko Tohor. Why don't you compare the case of the found wedged thorn in the esophagus to a case of doubt concerning Tuma in a public thoroughfare where the ruling is one of Tahara, where we say it is not Tame, it's not ruined. So, Ela, Hasam Hilchasa Gemiri Lami Sota. The reason that you don't learn from there is because those are oral traditions that govern the laws of Tuma and Tahara that are derived from Sota. So whether it be a ruling of stringency, namely Tuma, or that of leniency, Tahara, there is no real Svara, no reason behind it other than an oral tradition that's derived from Sota, and we can't use that as a precedent for other cases. And hence, what we say there doesn't affect my thinking concerning the coats in the veshet. Yosef Ahu Mirabonan Kamed Rav Kahana V'Yosef Ikomar. There was a rabbi sitting in the presence of Rav Kahana, and he sat and taught and said, Nimseis Itmar, the case of the coats that's worthy of a lenient ruling is a case of a coats, a thorn found in the esophagus, but not wedged into it. Apo Yoshav Cheshinon. However, if it was an issue, a question of it being wedged into the inside of the esophagus, we would exercise precaution and raise doubts, and of course, and therefore not eat it. Omar Lehu Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana says to those that are seated there, the most recent teaching was dated in the presence of Rav Kahana. So Rav Kahana says to those that were present, Lo tatsisu lei, don't hearken unto him, don't listen to him. Yoshav itmar, the original teaching was that was presented of Ula was Yoshav. Of course, let's just remind ourselves of the two versions as are indicated by the numbers that we have to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara. Here we have the second version of Nimseis after the first version on the upper part of the page where Ula initially spoke on this topic and said Yoshav. So Rav Kahana is going back to the first version and says that the lenient ruling in fact was a case of wedging, of Yoshav. Avol nimseis, but a case of simply a thorn found there, lo itzterich le l'ula, I wouldn't need any teaching on the part of Ula to rule that to be allowed. The kulu chivi baraiso kotzi achlon, all grazing animals, chivi are creatures, baraiso of the outside, of the outdoors, they eat thorns. Thorns is part of their normal course of living. So, of course, they're not rendered trefa as a result of simply having consumed thorns. That's part of their menu or of their diet. And therefore, it's so obvious that a found thorn would be okay. At this point, the Gemara goes into a new discussion that we've titled on the outside margin under our Nosei heading, Torbetz Haveshet. Now, Torbetz Haveshet is Mokom Dibuk Haveshet Balechi. It's the point in the anatomy, in the throat anatomy of an animal, that the veshet, that the esophagus is attached to the jaw within the animal. So that, and of course we'll call this a very an upper level, a very high up level point in the esophagus. It's at the essentially the very beginning part of that tube. Itmar, Torbetz Haveshet. We should point out before going on in the Gemara, by way of introduction, we will be focusing on two aspects of this thing. One, nikvo bekama, a hole in that part. What size hole would render it unfit? As a backdrop, we have the veshet itself, the continuation of the veshet tube, a nekev mashehu passels it. the issue right now will be one of a nekev in the turbitz haveshet. What size hole renders it unfit? And a second issue will be ha'im nechshav mokom shchita. Is it considered, viewed as an appropriate point along the neck for slaughtering? We've discussed in previous sukkis in this masechta the boundaries of shchita on the kona, on the trachea. We saw numerous shitas with regard to the upper limit, upper boundary of shchita for the kona. In this sugya, we will touch upon the esophagus, the upper level, upper boundary regarding shchita on the veshet. So now, turning to the Gemara, of course, we have a slash mark indicating that that which follows is now a brand new discussion. So, Itmar, Turbetz HaVeshet, Rav Omar B'mashehu, Ushmul Omar B'rubo. A whole, according to Rav, even if it's a mashu, a minor, minuscular sized hole, it renders it trefa. Shmuel says, only if it's rove open, rove, the hole covers the majority of the Turbetz HaVeshet, will there be a problem. Rav Omar B'mashehu, Mokom Shchitahu. Rav says it's treated, or it's rendered unfit with a mashuhu size hole, because the Turbetz HaVeshet is in fact an appropriate place to do the shchita, and as such it has the din, it has the category, the status of a veshet. And just like in the veshet itself, nekev mashuhu ruins it, so too in the Turbetz HaVeshet. We may say that in looking at Rav, you've got a stringency and a leniency. On the one hand, the stringency is that even a minor size hole renders it unfit. That's the nekev mashu. On the other hand, you have a leniency in saying that it's within the acceptable boundaries for a kosher shchita. Ushmuel Omar Barubo. Shmuel says the Turbetz HaVeshet hole would only be if it's in the majority of it. And that is a function of lav mokom shchitu. It's not an appropriate place for shechting it. In other words, it does not have the din of veshet. So Shmuel too has a leniency and a stringency, but from the opposite direction. In the case of Shmuel, the leniency is that even a hole of a mashu size will not ruin it, only if it's rubo. However, the stringency is that it's not considered an acceptable location for shchita. It's out of bounds. Here the Gemara wants to clarify what is identified as the Turbetz HaVeshet. How does one identify it? Hey nihu Turbetz HaVeshet. In this particular presentation, there will be a couple of stages. We're calling this stage Aleph, or approach Aleph. Omar Mori Bar Mar Ukfa Omar Shmuel Kol Shechotcho U Marchiv Zehu Turbetz HaVeshet. If you're at a point on the esophagus and you make a slice in the esophagus, and the resultant hole that appears now as having sliced it, you find it expands. That just after the cutting, the new hole that you made is expands. That shows you that that's Turbetz HaVeshet. Sehu Turbetz HaVeshet. Chotcho v'omei bimkomo. If you cut the veshet tube and the tube does not expand, at that is an indication, zehu veshet atzmo. That's the veshet itself. Omar luhu Rav Popi. Rav Popi disagrees with what just presented and says, more lo Omar hochi umonu Rav Bevai bar Abaye. More doesn't say that way. More is a title of distinction. So Rav Popi, when citing more, he is referring to Rav Bevai bar Abaye. And hence you can see we have him listed as number two. Whereas Mori bar Marukfa, underlined above and called number one, Rav Bevai is a second approach to the issue of the cutting and determining what's Turbetz HaVeshet, and he says, Ela, kol shechotchoi v'oimei bimkoimoi, ze Turbetz HaVeshet. If you cut the esophagus, the tube, and the hole that results after you sliced the tube stays as it is, that's Turbetz HaVeshet. Ela ezu veshet atzmo, then what would be a sign of the actual veshet? Answer, kol shechotcho v'kovitz. if you were to slice it and it contracts, kovetz contracts, that would be the sign of it, the veshet itself. Now we have another aspect, or another approach. Yoina Omar Zera Mavlisa. Mavlisa is something that's very close to the head of the animal. We should take a look at the Rashi. You'll find Rashi on the first of the wide lines under the Gemara, the end of the line, Mavlisa, Mokoim Beis Havliya, a point in the animal's throat where it swallows, Korui, the Mokoim Beis Havliya, Korui Turbits, Somuch L'Roish Hanekev Ma'od, which is a point at which is very close to the nekev. Here is the opening of the tube, but the food goes down a pipe, so there's an opening to the pipe. The turbits is something that's very close to that opening. V'kamo, how close is it to that opening? Omar Rav Avyo, pochos misarto v'odif michitza. The sarta is a barley grain, and a chitza is a wheat grain. So there's a difference in size between these two grains. So somewhere between the size of a barley, means less than a barley, and greater than a wheat grain in terms of length. If you take the length of these grains, from this Gemara, the barley grain would appear to be larger in size. So we're saying something less than a barley and greater than a wheat grain, in proximity to the opening of the tube, that's called turbits. Hahu tura davu livnei Rav Ukva. There was a tura, a shor, an ox that Bnei Rav Ukva owned, and they were slaughtering this ox. The aschu beishchita beturbits haveshet, the gomar baveshet. The knife was positioned at an angle, so it was starting high up on the esophagus. The initial penetration or slicing, cutting into the veshet was at the turbits point, and the knife veered down into the veshet, lower down to the veshet itself. So it's an angular type cutting. Omar Rava, before continuing the more, we must point out the fact that we have a Roman numeral number 1 to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. This will be followed by a Roman numeral number 2 on Daf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. These are different versions as to how this case is to be dealt with. So Rava's approach is Raminon Ole Chumrei de Rav V'Chumrei de Shmuel V'Tarif Nole, that we are to apply, Ramino is to play, I apply to this the stringencies of Rav and the stringencies of Shmuel, and as a result of this, the Shechita will be an unfit Shechita, and Tarif Nale, I will render it unacceptable, unfit. How procedurally does this work? So, Chumri de Rav, the stringency of Rav, the Omar Rav, v'mashehu, a hole in the Torbis of Eshet, will be a problem, even if it is a mashehu in size. Now, if you have any trouble finding where this comment was made, so take advantage of the little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text and align it with the above arrow, where you see on that line where the Gemara was dealing with the Turbis of Eshet, Rav said b'mashehu. So Rav had said that a hole of a mashehu ruins it. So the initial slicing into the Turbits HaVeshet would be the making of a hole. It may be very small, but that's a hole. The Gemara asks, but why should that be a problem? Omar Rav, Mokom Shechitahu. But Rav himself said that it's a proper place to do a Shechita. So why should a slicing over there ruin it? So to that we say, we should point out that the claiming or describing it as Mokom Shechita was in fact a leniency of Rav. This is how we explained the Gemara earlier, the positive-negative or leniency-stringency aspect. So here we're saying, but why should we render it unfit when Rav himself says that it's an acceptable place for Shechita? So to this we answer, Kishmuel, in accordance to Shmuel, we rule the Omar Lav Mokom Shritahu. This too, one can see above, where Rav and Shmuel had presented their opinions, that the Torbitz is not a legitimate place for doing Shritah. Well, if you're going to accept that stringency of Shmuel, then E. Shmuel Ha'omar Barubo. But according to Shmuel, a hole or a cut in the Torbitz is only a problem when it's cut rove, when rove of it is cut open. And here we don't have rove cut open at that point. Remember, we described an angular shechita, where the continuation of the slicing is down lower in the veshet itself. So this hole that was made should not present a problem. True, it's outside the mokum shechita, but it's not a hole of rove. So to that we say, well, we're only accepting the stringency of Shmuel, not this leniency, and rather kirav domar v'mashu. With regard to size of holes, we accept Rav's approach. So as you can see, we have taken the stringencies of Rav, namely that a Torbitz hole is a problem already at the mashu stage, and the stringency of Shmuel indicating that it is not an acceptable place of shechita. So therefore you have made a hole as opposed to doing an act of shechita at that point. Igalgal Milsa, this story, this case rolled around and eventually Motu Kameh, the Rebbe Abba, and it arrived to the attention of Rebbe Abba, Omar Lahu, and Rebbe Abba said, Tura, Bein the Rav, Bein the Shmuel, Shori. The ox, whether according to Rav or according to Shmuel, this is allowed. And he goes on to say, Zilu, Omru, Lei, go and tell the braid of Yosef Bar Chama, to the son of Yosef, the son of Chama, which in effect is Rava himself, go tell Rava, the Lishlim Deme Turo Lemore, that you owe money to the owner of this ox. In other words, you paskined that the ox was trefa, and thereby it was fed to the dogs, thereby causing the owner a great loss. So you must compensate him. Rashi at the bottom of the page, three lines up from the bottom, says, "Demei tur lamorei shikvar yachilo leklovim." After you ruled that it was a trefa, he fed it to the dogs. Dilu havi kamon, had the ox still been in front of us, have a hodar bay umishtri bachilo, we would have reversed what you said and allowed it to be eaten. The kaimelon, we hold ta bidvar mishnah choser, a mistake in psak that concerns a mistake whose correct version is found in a mishnah is to be reversed. Vaha devar mishnah mufureshes he. This the psak, your psak was a mistake. The lo avdinon kitrei chumri, because one is not to adopt to a given case two stringencies, which is what you did. The Gemara, which continues on to Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, presents a question. This is a long question that continues till Daf Mem Dalet. The gist of the question, and it's a question focused against Rava, is how can you paskin like you did? In other words, you took the stringencies of Rav and the stringencies of Shmuel and combined them to come out with your ruling of stringency, of strictness. That type of halachic approach to things, we will see in a Tanaic source that the Gemara presents, is simply unacceptable. At the end of this long question, even though there is a lot of detail information that's supplied, the Gemara will conclude at the upper part of Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, at the end of what we have here as a long question, that Mikol Mokom Kashya, how could Rava have paskined the way he did? Eventually, the Gemara will come up with a second stage, and that's our Roman numeral number 2, that describes Rava's Psak not as a combination of Rav and Shmuel, but his psak was completely according to Rav, and that it changes the entire picture. But we will get to that, Amir Tashem, in our next shir. So with that, we conclude our shiur for today.